My name is Jason Gann.
As many of you may have noticed, the leaves on the trees are now gone. Why is that? The reason for that is because God has set up a system here on this earth whereby all plant life would grow. Winter is here, and every winter the leaves fall off of the trees. That is something that we can count on every single winter. And then in the summer, in the spring, the leaves will start coming back, and they will get their color again, bright green usually. And we can see the cycle just continue and continue and continue and continue as long as the earth stands. That cycle has never failed to happen, and it never will fail to happen. Men marvel at what God has created here on this earth, but Jesus says not to marvel at this. I would like to encourage you to turn to John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29. Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, what is Jesus speaking of here? He is speaking of that great day of judgment. And as I have said, that is our title here tonight. Peter said on the day that the church was established that we were in the last days. Now, as you know, the church was established a little less than 2,000 years ago, and throughout all that time, even now, we are in the last days. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, Paul revealed unto us a mystery. And there he tells us that we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he goes on to tell us that this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And he says death will be swallowed up in victory. So within the time that it takes your eye to twinkle, which could take a little less than a second, this world could end. Time as you know it, as I know it, could end. Just as Paul was saying, when Jesus comes back, this will be the end of time as far as this world is concerned. Jesus is going to speak this world out of existence when He returns from heaven. And when that occurs, you won't have time to go to the church and repent, or to call a fellow Christian man and repent to him, confess your sins, and have him pray for you. You won't have time to repent to God at that time. That will happen so quickly that before you know it, you will be in your rightful place in eternity. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, "So Christ was once offered as for the sins of many, and to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So Jesus is coming back unto salvation for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says the following, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So we are talking about the eternal salvation we'll have when Jesus comes back to this earth, to this world, to get us in the air. Now one may ask though, how do we know that Jesus is coming back? You know, it's been so long since He's promised us that. How do we know He's going to come back? Or maybe He's already come back. Some claim that also. Well, the only way that you can find out any Bible answer is by going to the Bible. So turn with me now to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Tonight we will attempt to answer many, many questions about the judgment day, since that is a very popular thing to talk about, it seems, in the world. So many think they know when it's going to occur. Then in John 14, 1 through 3, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So Jesus plainly tells us there that He is going to prepare a place for us, and that He is going to come again. When He returns in the air, He is going to take the faithful Christians back with Him to heaven. So if you are a faithful Christian this very day, you need to stay that way. Yet, if you are not a faithful Christian today, you need to get that way, because you know not the hour in which Jesus will return. Your time and my time here on this earth is a time in which we are supposed to prepare ourselves for eternity. It is so easy for us to get involved with so many activities and things that we like to do that we forget about what we are supposed to be preparing for. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. If you're unprepared, you won't go to heaven. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, the old saying goes, use your time wisely. I'm sure many of you have been told that, and you could have even told others that. Use your time wisely. The same can be applied to us today, though. We need to use our time wisely here on this earth. We need to do what God says in order that we may prepare ourselves for that heavenly home that awaits all Christians. Now, we realize that being a faithful Christian don't mean that you are going to be the most popular person in the world. In fact, even if you are the most a very faithful Christian, you may be attacked from all corners, even in the church, with people saying that you are wrong. But we must realize that being a faithful Christian is the only way to go to heaven. No matter who is against you, as long as God is for you, that is who we must count on. Now I will be reading to you from the first chapter of Acts, beginning at the 7th verse. "And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner." So by reading this, we know that we do not have to worry about Jesus coming back, because Jesus will come back. The men in white apparel were sent down, we know, with messages from God to tell the disciples of Jesus that Jesus had gone to heaven, and that He would return. How will He return? He will return in like manner, so as He went up into the clouds, He will come back in the clouds. So this should be a comfort to all. Jesus is coming back. Now, some people think that Jesus is going to come back to earth and He's going to set up an earthly kingdom. Yet those who think that have been taught error, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, there we read, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So we that remain to hear the shout from the sky of Jesus at the end of the world will be caught up in the air to meet Jesus in the clouds. We will all go up into the air and meet Jesus, and then we will go to heaven. So Jesus is going to come back where? He's going to come back in the clouds. Sometimes we sing the song, "On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise." Well, it should be on that bright and cloudy morning, or whatever time, when the dead in Christ shall rise, because it will be a cloudy day in that we know that Jesus will be in the clouds. But will Jesus come in glory? Well, Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man, shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So Jesus is coming back for a specific purpose, to reward every man according to his works. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that is what Jesus is coming back to reward us for. Have we made that confession today that we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Are we ashamed of Jesus? Luke chapter 9, verse 26 says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in the Father's and of the holy angels." So, friends, we'd better not be ashamed of Jesus here on this earth, because if we are, he will be ashamed of us when he comes back in the clouds. Now, the big question is, and this is always the biggest question when talking about the judgment day, it seems, will we know when Jesus is going to come back? And the answer to that question is no. The time of Jesus' second coming is hidden in the mind of God. It's one of the secret things that belong only unto God. As we read in Deuteronomy 29:29, let's see what Jesus had to say about this, though. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Jesus says there, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." So Jesus doesn't even know when the judgment day is going to occur. Then the question, though, may arise, will he come unexpectedly? The answer to that question is yes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour that your Lord doth come." If you remember, on December 31st, 1999, there was many who thought the millennium was about to come, and that would signify the end of the world. Well, we know those who predicted that were wrong. And likewise, all of those who have ever tried to prepare a date to tell others about when the judgment day will occur have been wrong. And they will always be wrong, because the judgment day will come when no man expects it. So that's why we must watch, therefore, for ye know not the hour in which your Lord doth come, as we have read. How terrible it would be, though, if Jesus returned, and he returned in the clouds in the air when you least expected it, as you know he will, and he found you out of the church. Perhaps it was on a Sunday during the worship service, and he found members of the church out fishing, hunting, or doing anything else on his day, the Lord's day. It is always important that we understand that it is necessary for each and every one of us to be at this church building for worship each and every opportunity that we have. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That means we need to be here as much as we can. That includes the worship services and the Bible studies. Of course, if you are sick or something happens like that, some emergency that is concerns you very much, you do need to be here at every opportunity that you have, and you do not need to forsake the assembly. The ones who are here for the Sunday morning worship service should be here for the Sunday evening worship service and doing the Bible studies. Now, of course, I think we all know that, but it is always good to stress that when we can. Let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. We have this statement from the Apostle Peter. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as what? As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So all of these things we know are going to come to pass on the judgment day. On the judgment day, the earth will be no more, and time will be no more. It will be burned up into the flames of fire. We must accept the solemn warning given to us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, which says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So if someone tries to tell you when Jesus is going to come back, then you know that they are teaching error, because only God knows when the judgment day will occur. Now the next question that could be posed, will Jesus come back with His angels? I think we've already answered that question, but let us go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 to know for sure about that. Here we read what Paul says, and Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." So Jesus is going to come back with His angels. He's not coming alone. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, we read also that He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heaven to the other. And we know that the word elect means chosen. So He says He's going to come back and gather everyone all over the world, and everyone is going to be gathered up. Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, some important verses I think we need to know. There we read, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So we can depend upon the word of God. It tells us that we are supposed to love one another. And we can learn so much from that, because many of the problems of the church today comes from those who do not love other Christians. And we need to love one another enough not to, that if someone has offended us, to go to them. And if you think someone is offended, then you need to go to them and talk to them about that to get things straightened out, because we are certainly supposed to love one another, and we think that is a very, very important commandment for us all to learn from. So Jesus is going to come back, and He's going to gather out of His kingdom all of those that offend and those that do iniquity. And He's going to come back to judge the world of righteousness for those who are obeying. We're given the assurance that He will raise all men from the dead. So one may ask, will Jesus come to resurrect? Well, let us turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 and 10. And there we read, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God." Of course, that is another word for the churches of Christ, certainly not the denominational churches of God. "For your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the absence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Now here is some more of Paul's writing to the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with the 14th verse. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I don't know how much more comfort we could give to one who has lost a loved one than to tell them Jesus is going to come back and he will bring that one with him to heaven also. But we must understand that Jesus will judge the world. He will judge the whole world. How do we know this? In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, there it says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And once again, I'll say what I read a while ago. Jesus will take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel on the judgment day. Will Jesus take vengeance on everyone? No. Will Jesus reward everyone? Yes. We know the answer to that can be found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. There we read, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. So I want to suggest to you that we all ought to be very careful what our works are. If we do sinful works, then we will be rewarded with everlasting punishment. Yet if we do the works that God has commanded, then we will be rewarded with everlasting happiness in heaven. So how exactly will Jesus gather everyone? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, we can find that answer. For it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee unhungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So friends, we do not want to be afraid to see those who are in need and those who are sick. Because if we help them, then we are helping Jesus, because this is what Jesus has commanded us to do. Now continuing with verse 41 there, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye did it not unto me. and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Who are the righteous? The righteous are faithful Christians. Friends, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be a goat or a sheep? I want to be a sheep, and I think that many of you in the audience tonight do also. So we have learned that Christ is going to separate the good from the bad, and that He is going to receive us, that where He is, we may be also. Yet, we must understand that Christ is not only going to come back to receive, but also to crown. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "And when the chief shepherd, which is Jesus, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Soon that time will come, and we need to be qualified and ready to go to heaven. The end of the journey means a crown. So the end of our journey here on this earth will lead us to heaven if we have done what God has commanded. Paul said some truly remarkable words at the close of his life. He said, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." So Paul was ready for his crown of righteousness. He knew that he was going to achieve the goal of gaining that crown. We need to set that goal for us tonight. We need to make up our mind that we want to go to heaven, and we need to make that our ultimate goal. It's fine to have many goals in life, but let's make our ultimate goal to go to heaven. So what shall we do until Jesus comes back? We can show our faith in Him by being baptized into Him, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. We can put on Christ if we have not already. Then James tells us to be patient. For James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8 say, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain." And in verse 8 says, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Every day in this life of ours, we are one day closer than we were the day before. So Jesus is coming without sin, and He's coming to reward every one of us according to our works. And we need to be careful that we have been working in the Master's vineyard. For Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We must keep Jesus' commandments. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But if we don't keep Jesus' commandments, will we be happy to see Him coming in the sky? No, we will not. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." So we have the promise there that if we do Jesus' commandments, we can enter into the gates, into the city of heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 tells us, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We have the promise that after we have completed our life here on earth, that we won't have to cross those chilly waters of death alone. For David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Let's talk a little about the great judgment scene. Matthew chapter 24, verse 40 says, "There will be two in the field. One shall be taken, and the other one shall be left. There will be two at the meal. One shall be taken, and the other one left." Which one are we going to be? Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The saddest separation will be when one is turned away with the multitude into everlasting punishment on the judgment day. God, however, does not desire that any should perish, but wants all to come to repentance. And He, by His grace, has made it possible for every man to have his sins forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2:8-9. Once his sins are forgiven, God says that He will remember their iniquities no more. Now is the day of salvation. So if you're not a faithful Christian, become one tonight. You must hear the gospel. You must believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized into Jesus Christ.